So now we have some time for questions about the practice. Like, hopefully, if you did resonate with this approach, then you want to practice it and to use it, to include this in your practice sometime, maybe. Doesn't mean that you have to meditate like this all the time, of course, but sometime using this, including this in a way or another. But maybe there are still some things that you want to know about it, or you're unsure about it, or the more the concept around it maybe needs to be a bit clearer for you, then it's a good time for that. And then, so we have some time for this feedback of meditation. Also, what happened to your meditation? It's always very precious for everybody. And then after, there will be a time for kind of the closing of the home retreat day. So it's not now. So don't go into the conclusion of this retreat now. Just the question, your feedback. And after, we'll have a time for a closing and some technical stuff about recordings and like this.
Yeah. So this concept of dukkha, not pushing away, not grasping. Yeah, how that feels in my meditation, that is like I drift off very relatively quickly. Or now I had this, before I didn't have that so much, but now I had that relatively strongly, that I drifted off relatively quickly into a dreamy state, into a dream state, because that is the road which is still open. Yeah, if you don't push it away, if you don't grasp it, then you're, on my mind, goes really like in a kind of a dream state, and then I really have to pull myself back. I wanted to share this. Just
yeah.
And also say something about it if you want, if you can. So
yeah, well, dream states has a lot to bring in our meditation. I think there's much creativity and much insight can come in that state. Sometimes more than when we're really focused. That's one thing we could say. I wouldn't see this at all as a problem. I don't know if it's the result, because this is in this meditation that it happened. I would be very interested to know if you keep practicing this, if it always bring in this kind of area, or if it has different impacts. I would be really curious to know. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Alex. Would be great if you can tell me.
Yeah.
If you do practice. Yeah. Okay. This. Yeah.
Okay. For me, the image of the river was really helpful.
Yeah.
Because it somehow put things a bit further away. But it related very much with the feeling of impermanence also, like with this coming and going and this movement. So sometimes I was more, the feeling was more towards impermanence also.
Yeah.
But it also really gave me a feeling that there is not even the need or the urge of grasping, because it's just a river and everything going by. And then another picture came to my mind of like being this kind of space or container, like maybe a jar. And then I thought, okay, the jar doesn't care if you put tea or juice or something that the jar doesn't like. Like the jar is not like moving or like being happy, whatever you put in.
Yeah.
Or maybe even one of those like Harry Potter magic, I don't know, you know, this sphere or whatever. So you just see things inside. The container doesn't really care, actually.
Yeah.
But then I noticed that I do care. Like I, depending on whatever thought or topic shows up, I can feel like, you know, a bit of tension in the belly, or I can see how easy it is that some things are just floating by and some have like a bodily reaction in a way. But yeah, somehow not as strong as usually, because kind of with keeping with this river feeling. So yeah, that helped for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Doris. Yeah, so yeah, as you mentioned, like the river is a very a nice idea, also image of impermanence, and this way of seeing like nothing can fulfill us because it's just passing. So there's no need to grasp because it can't stay, and we're looking for something more stable. Is just an extension of impermanence. It's one, we realize that there is impermanence, and we realize that nothing that is impermanent can fulfill our longing. So very linked, as you did in your, you saw in your meditation. Yeah, the image of the jar is nice. We get a lot of this in different traditions. Like one image is like, space doesn't get dirty when you throw oil in it. So like anything can happen in space, doesn't change space. That's an image. Or the screen of a cinema screen, whatever picture it shows on, if it's a fire, the screen is not burning. If it's water, it's not wet. It just like is independent of what's happening somehow. So all these images are helpful. And sometimes self-created images are those who work best. Yeah, thank you, Doris. Nicole and then Chris.
Oh, sorry.
Chris. No, go, Nicole. No, go, Mike.
This might get very confusing. So I have the impression that experience is the only thing that relates me to the world. So kind of a need experience to feel alive. And so it's not even actually the exercise of letting go the thing or the pain in the body and blah, this is already okay, known or not known, but I mean, this was not so astonishing, but the thing is then the rain came and the sound of the rain was so relaxing and I would say, oh, that's nice. I didn't even want it to last, but the fact that I don't know what to do then with it. Do I have to block all these things, or because the effect, or is it just notice what? You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's something coming from the outside affecting me. Positive, negative response. Okay. Do I have this, let's say the positive, because it was more interesting to do it with the positive things. Is it okay to respond and to feel the positive reaction and then say, okay, but I'm not on the same floor right now? Or is the aim to totally de-emotionalize everything, all the information that come in?
There's
something around this.
Yeah. So I think this these teachings and this practice is, it's like to take, I would say, lightly somehow. depends for who. But like to take lightly in the sense that if there is the sound of the rain and there is a nice feeling coming from the sound of the rain, you just notice it and that's okay and it can stay. If you notice that there is wanting it to stay, this feeling somehow, and then maybe, I don't know, then the fridge starts and the sound of the rain is then covered by the fridge or something like this, and this creates disappointment. All these things you notice. So then if the fridge starts, it's also okay. You see, if you are in that, the teaching is not that you should not enjoy the sound of the rain. But as soon as you notice that there is the wish that it lasts, then it means that you block the deepening somehow. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
It's fine. And I think these things are taking their place in the long run.
Yeah.
Because in the long run, you will kind of notice and it will kind of start to make sense and there will be a kind of letting go happening.
Because the other thing was that, but this is maybe the thing that what we are doing here was this exercising in meditation and maybe not in life. And I get a little bit confused of those different layers too.
Yes.
Because if not, I think it was like not this meditation, but the one before, I kind of freaked out because I saw that it might be relieving. But on the other hand, it was like, this might annihilate all my resources.
Yes.
I need resources. Yes. I need these things coming that give me some power and some even to work and even to go to meditation and all this stuff. And
yes.
So it's this fine line between not and making an annihilation of my resources that come from outside.
Yeah, but so I think for simplicity, we could keep it totally separate.
Yeah.
And have kind of, you know, it's like if we take the example of physics,
this
is very clear.
Won't work.
Physics, it won't work. Yes, it works. For because See the physics in this age, it's very interesting because they have two different sets of rules. Like you have the physics of a tree, light, and all the material, which is solid and can be seen and experimented with. And then when you go to the very fine, like atomic and smaller, so the atoms and the smaller, then the set of rules doesn't apply at all. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Like time exists only for the big physics and for the small physics. Like things happen outside of time or time goes reverse. You know, things, it's crazy what goes on there. We're not very much aware because we're not physicists, but since decades now, they have findings that really challenges the idea of physics of matter. It just doesn't work at all. Or these laws that we have about gravity and about everything and the speed and everything. You know, so now they work with two sets of laws. One is for the big picture and one is for the small. So we could do the same. We have one set of law for like normal life with love attachment, enjoying these feelings and trying to keep safe and away from the unpleasant. Yeah, that's what we do. And enjoying the pleasant and trying to keep away from the unpleasant. That feels very sane to do that. Unnecessary. And in meditation, we can also sometimes do that, but we can also go the other way, go to the non-intuitive way, which is what we did today, is absolutely refusing to acquire or to hold on to any pleasant or to push away the unpleasant. It's counterintuitive somehow. And it brings some fruit. It is very interesting to experiment with, but don't translate it into general life now. Later, sometimes it will inform how maybe too much grasping on someone or on something, or too much wanting this to not happen at any cost, is creating your suffering more than the event. So this will affect these worlds, they intertwined a little bit. But for now, for simplicity, just keep this for meditation, don't apply into life, and see, and also in meditation, sometime you do it and you see the effect. And when there is something enjoyable, you can of course enjoy it, but something will change a little bit. You will know that you're staying there. You stop somewhere in your meditation somehow. And that can be useful to stop somewhere. And as I said, also, if you have a great idea, like a fantastic idea of a good plan or for your work or something like this, keep it and think it, you know? Or if you have a resolution of a conflict, then go with it. Or an insight, then think about this. I don't want to reduce meditation to this technique. It would be really stupid, really stupid. Yeah? But this is a view. It's not about an ultimate truth. It's just a view that has the effect of letting go and deepening. For those who work, you experiment and you see if it works for you. Yeah, thank you, Nicole. Chris, you wanted to say something. Is that still?
Yeah. Chogram Chungpa once said something like, if you're bored with your meditation, it's a good sign. I'm not quite sure what he meant by that, but I feel I've sort of reached a point where I reach the same point more or less every time. And there's this, obviously, this very, you know, I'm not sort of saying that I've reached this great crescendo of wonderfulness at all, far from it. But I've reached a point where I feel I can't go beyond it. It's not a sense of boredom, but it's like, oh, I'm here again. Everything's fine. Everything's very spacious and quiet, but it feels like a limitation. There's something that definitely feels like a limitation.
Hmm.
That's all, really.
I'm not
necessarily looking for an answer or suggestions of a way out of that, but or if there is a way out, or whether it's just a sort of a stage of meditation that I'm actually at.
Yeah. I wonder if Chogyam Trungpa, when he said, if you're bored with your meditation, it's a good sign, he doesn't mean that then, because then you move on to something else. It's kind of, you know, I don't know. And then I wonder, like in your experience, if... if you're expecting anything from the meditation, is one thing we all do actually, and
yeah, absolutely,
yeah, yeah, and that could also be one of the reasons of the boredom, of course, yeah, because it's not coming the way we think it should come, and I wonder, like, for instance, this approach, and also I wonder if. Well, I remember Christopher saying in one Dharma talk, we were there together in Bodh Gaya, boredom is lack of interest. Yeah?
Yeah, boredom, I remember that.
Boredom is lack of interest. So I wonder if it's because you're practicing since so long and there are some deepenings, but sometimes it just stabilizes somewhere. And if it's not a renewal of interest that would create the dynamic to go deeper, and how would that come then?
You know? Yeah, I mean, for me, it doesn't feel like a lack of it. It's not, I mean, for me, I get, you know, most mornings when I sit down, I just think, oh, thank God for this. You know, this is such a, you know, I'm really, you know, I love sitting and I love meditation. It's not as though I'm bored with the whole process of meditating. It's like reaching.
Yeah, okay.
It's like reaching a point where I feel that the sort of, I'm just trying to think of a good analogy, but it's like just reaching a point where I don't feel it can go any further, even though I know it can go a lot further. It's just almost this sort of limitation that I've sort of exhausted something. It was partly, you know, what, you know, I felt it some years ago when I decided to try and explore the jhanas, because I felt that, you know, through the jhanas, there is a sort of a definite sense of moving along through the eight stages of the jhanas to the, you know, to the point of a non-material state. I mean, I was very drawn by that, partly out of curiosity, but also out of, you know, the possibility of, you know, such a deep state of absorption. I mean, who wouldn't be drawn to that? I mean,
So that's not boredom. It's just like just feeling like level and. Mm. Still, I wonder, like, if there is still some fire for exploring, or if it became a routine that works well and that you're content with and it feels good, or if there's the burning question like who am I, who is meditating, who's there, who's watching, you know, that, because these questions, like, they're digging the hole deeper and deeper somehow. Yeah, so, and if it's not there, then how to make this come back to life somehow? Yeah. Thanks, Chris, for
sharing. I think the problem is it's a very nice place to be. You know, the actual state itself is you know, I could sit there for hours, but I know that it doesn't have dynamism. I think that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. It lacks a dynamism.
And then that you can see this as dukkha, because there is attachment to the state. And then this prevents further discovery up to freedom, which is the path you're set up on. So it, then this stuckness because of a comfort is somehow will bring frustration, lack of interest and frustration somehow, I think. So then this viewing that state as this is not what I'm searching, I'm not interested anymore about these states. This is viewing this state as dukkha. This is the idea that I was bringing in this day, viewing this state as dukkha. Or at least viewing the attachment to this state as dukkha. Because as the Buddha said, like, it's the attachment that is the creating the suffering. So no attachment. Let it go, that state.
Yeah.
Food for thought, mate. Okay, anybody else want something practical for keeping going with meditation with this style? Okay. Then maybe we can go. So we could do a kind of a, as after every retreat, a kind of a closing circle, and so which means a time where you can say a little bit how this one day home retreat happened for you. How was it? And kind of bringing a sense of a conclusion. There will be a time for. There will be a time for practical feedback. I will ask if you can write them. Maybe you have ideas. Would be good if you have ideas.
Mute, Denis, you're muted.
With this Zoom, there's one extra layer of things to manage compared to when we're in a being busy at the, somewhere else at the same time. So I don't know what you heard now. Okay, so closing circle, there will be, if you have practical ideas which would be great, then please send them by emails. And I would be very interested and curious to know if there's possibility, there must be possibility to improve the sharing circle. It was the first time that I was doing that, a specific time during the after lunchtime. Any ideas about this? I would be happy to receive your comments by email. And now it's more seeing how this one day retreat was for you in your home. And keep bringing a sense of closure. Don't be shy. Jump. Speak without too much reflecting on what you're going to say. Spontaneous. No problem.
Yeah, I can tell.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I feel basically I've gone to retreat for the whole year already, because when it continues some kind of a lockdowns and quarantine. So like it's just like I use a lot of time on sitting and mindfully moving, but I'm not moving much outside. But this particular day was special, definitely, because it had really nice structure of the retreat, which I like a physical, like a real retreat, like a longer retreat, which I miss a lot. In the last 12 months, I was just like the only thing actually I was missing and I'm still missing is like the space for retreat with a group. And so it was, I could grasp today the sense of a group. So yeah, and the practice was also interesting, and I think like February is a brilliant time for contemplating dukkha, because it's a difficult month, especially here in the north when it's winter is in the full swing. And so thank you for that. Yeah, it was a very good experience for me. I never did that like this, like the whole day of retreating, but it was good. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Alex.
Well, I add to this that this was also, as I said in the circle, my first online retreat and meditation specifically. So I think it worked quite well. I found that I was probably more focused and good in pushing away thoughts in the morning than earlier on. I was actually looking at my thoughts too much in the last hour. So I found also thoughts from, I don't know, childhood, for example, or things like that. While in the morning, I was more like kind of doing the practice, I think, with more structure, maybe. So I think the time in between the meditation also worked quite well, because you kind of look forward to the next one. It doesn't feel like you have done too much. And also I really liked the talks. That was really, really interesting. I think some of the questions were raised by other people, so it was also nice to have this conversation. Nothing specific. So thanks for organizing this.
Welcome. Thank you, Alicia.
It was very intense, and I said this in the sharing circle, but I wasn't expecting that at all. So I think I was definitely overripe to go back and put some enthusiasm, and was not able to do it on my own. So all the time when I did meditation, it was kind of this, yeah, okay, let's do it, let's try it, but okay, more than not really coming out of the right, from the right place. And even yesterday when I was listening to the talks of the first session, was interesting, but it didn't have at all the same quality. I mean, it's really, I was doubting so much this, yeah, okay, online, and yeah, we all feel together, but just having the live event and kind of knowing that everybody now goes and have their lunch, and it really worked. So that's super astonishing. And it's a little bit like my body when it's not allowed to go to the swimming pool for a long time, and then it goes back. It's like, oh, finally, I'm allowed to go back. And with meditation, it kind of did the same thing. It was this, it was not new, but it went to a different place, and it was really like, yes, I know this a tiny little bit, and I know that it feels like coming home. Maybe, wow, it's like a garden, and now the thing with the Lérance, the thing with the thoughts. So I can't really walk in it because it hasn't been taken care of, but ooh, good. Yeah, and very astonished and exhausted because it was quite a lot, I think.
Yeah.
So thank you, Denis.
Yeah, pleasure, Nicole.
So I've really appreciated today. Thank you, Denis, for your wonderful teachings.
Yeah.
And I feel like, thank you so much for sending the previous sessions. Listening to them really helped me prepare for today, I think. Just been listening a bit during the past week. And that just feels such a great value in revisiting or exploring these themes and having time to reflect on these, which, you know, some sense I think, oh, I know all about this, but of course, you know, of course I don't. And you know, the fact that it's familiar is helpful. And I think you've shown that there's sort of more depths to explore and be with in different you know, in reflection and in meditation, and what we can find from each. So certainly this method of meditation is something quite new, and I'm really curious about exploring impermanence and dukkha and anatta in this way. Yeah, it's quite a revelation. So, yeah. And I appreciated the sharing group. It was very good to meet some people, most people, some. And, I've really appreciated the day in terms of feeling together as a group the whole time, not just while we're here. And apologize for if I'm not always on the screen, because I've done quite a lot of online retreats, and my experience is less screen time is easier for me. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. I really enjoy of course, like this feeling of the group, but in the same time, being alone in my room with this intimacy also, like that nobody will be disturbed by my breathing, for example, or sometimes I start moving a bit. And I wouldn't do that if I would be really in a group. So I'm just exploring a bit right now, mindfully, of course, moving a leg or whatever, just to see how that feels. And that's also something that's possible right now. So yeah, also like eating my own food or like just having this cozy home feeling in a combination with getting some new input and hearing to other people's voices. I kind of like that combination, even though it's of course screen time, but yeah, with like having eyes closed every once in a while for the meditations, it's kind of okay. And yeah, I think that's what I'm really grateful for. And yeah, thank you very much for today.
Yeah, also from my side, thank you so much, Denis, for the talks and the insight and the guidance. I think for me, this day has been quite transformative. It's been a week where I couldn't really finish a lot of things and I had stuff on my mind, but I could eventually really dive into what we're doing here. And same with also the retreat that we've done on the topic of impermanence. I also have today this feeling that I was diving into something that is really of value and substance, and that is kind of like showing me a glimpse into something that is way bigger than I am. And it's funny because I remember the first time I started doing meditation without any guidance and just for myself, without knowing anything about it, I was always using like this kind of made up technique of like watching my thoughts go by and kind of like saying, ah, fuck it, to any of the thoughts that come by. It's like, oh yeah, fuck that. No, fuck that. So in a way, I kind of feel like it's a simplification of what we've been doing today. And like with this session today, I feel like I can put a lot of, it put what I've been doing there into like a higher level, one level up. So that's been really good of an experience. Yeah, thanks.
Yes. Thank you, Denis. Thank you very much for making this possible as well. And thank you, everyone else, for being such a nice sangha. I was missing that, and I needed that. And it's nice to have this refreshment. Thank you.
Thank you to Denis and to everybody. Yes, I understood quite a lot from the English guys, but from Denis, no. Mm-hmm. It was good. It was good experience for me. And it was deep and rich, and it was good. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to have tried it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really had to refrain from turning the radio on and picking the guitar up. All those things that I do during my daily life, there's always, you know, being surrounded by our sort of accoutrements of life, and then being in the midst of a sort of, you know, a practice that, that contradicts a lot of that, you know, it's quite a challenge in itself, actually, to be in your home space with all your familiarity, but actually to have to, you know, to refrain. I really enjoy that side of it, you know, just to really take stock and not to sort of, you know, when the camera's turned off. But yeah, really, really enjoyed the two retreats. It's been fantastic. Sorry I didn't make the sharing group, but the sun was shining and I really needed to get out and have a walk because sunshine's a rare thing here in Devon in the winter. lovely to meet and to practice with you all. Thank you. Thanks, Denny.
Yeah, I found the day really energizing, actually. I feel, quite invigorated, which feels nice. I do home retreats quite a lot, but, like, it's really nice to do it in a group. So even just having to prepare the space and not doing, usually I do my own schedule and then choose the talks and all that stuff. So it's actually really nice to not do any of that. And yeah, Denis, thank you for the clarity of the teachings today, particularly. I felt it is a complex topic, as you say, but and there was a certain clarity in how you communicated it that I've already taken away at least like one or two things that are like, okay. So, yeah.
Yeah.